Yes, day one, track 10. Yes, here on the Overnightscape Underground. It is coming up on 2:16 a.m. here on our virtual day. Yay! Oh, look at this. It's already 2:15 a.m. 2:16 a.m., actually, here on the Overnightscape Underground. And you just heard one of the Place Sounds features, Audio Street Fair Blues, June 11th of this year. And when I put it up on the Station Unlimited website, there was one comment from Duncan on June 24th, 2007. This is what Duncan says. Brilliant. I just closed my eyes and imagined I was walking with you. Excellent stuff. So the Duncan really did like the thing. Brilliant. I just closed my eyes and imagined I was walking with you. Excellent stuff. And Duncan, ooh, iamduncan.com. This is his website. I don't know. Duncan McDonald, new site coming. Okay, so there's just, is that him? There's like an illustration of him. Thank you, Duncan. So, see, people enjoy it. People enjoy the Place Sounds, you know? So, yes. So here we are on the Overnightscape Underground. I'm very excited about this. I'm wondering, you know, because at this point, you know, I'm getting this thing going. And really, the only, right now, I'm getting, you know, the process going. And I have a lot of stuff ready. And, you know, 24 hours may seem like a lot, but I'm thinking, I don't know. I think within a week or two, I could probably get the first episode done, the first 24 hours done here, which would be great. So, yeah, that was very cool. Now, before the next feature, which is the next thing that's coming, is something that literally has never been heard. It's coming up, and you'll see. I just listened to it. It's an amazing thing. Anyway, before we get to the next feature, I'd like to do a little beverage review. And our good friend Rule from the Netherlands, a great listener and supporter of the Overnightscape, earlier this year, for the for the fourth anniversary of the show, I believe, sent a huge box full of amazing stuff to review, and I have not gotten to a lot of it. And this was like, I don't know, like 6 months ago or something. And so hopefully I'm going to start to get to more of this stuff. Maybe here on the Underground, we can do some reviews. And what I want to review right now is some coffee he sent. It was a bag of ground coffee. This is Ristretto Radical, right? Ristretto Radical. So I think that, what does that mean, like a radical restaurant? Yeah, man, it's radical. Ristretto Radicale. Ristretto Radical. It's store and complex. So the STOER, is that store and complex? It's made by the coffee company from Amsterdam, coffeecompany.nl. What does it say in the back here? For freshest taste, store the coffee in an airtight container in the refrigerator or freezer. Once the bag has been opened, we suggest you use the coffee within 7 days. We buy coffee directly from the farmers wherever possible. We promote sustainability of coffee by pursuing the highest quality possible, and motivate farmers to pursue that same objective. Then we pay the farmer an excellent price for the quality so that the farmer can sleep as well as us. Wow, that's kind of interesting thing. Wow. So they're trying to really help everyone along. What's the website of this thing? Coffeecompany.nl. Interesting. Coffeecompany.nl. Yes, so here I have some. I brewed this coffee earlier today. Coffeecompany.nl. What's coffee? What did I do? What did I do wrong here? Coffee company. Oh, I typed it wrong. E. Yes, coffeecompany.nl. It's loading. It's loading. Uh oh. It's 13 pages long. What the heck kind of website is this? All right, it comes up. It's sort of like a notebook. And there's buttons. It says bladder. What the hell? B-L-A-D-E-R. So it's not spelled like bladder, but it looks like bladder. You drink a lot of coffee, it goes to your bladder. Coffee company. And it's the word coffee, and then there's like a weird spiral company.
Der Kortske Wegner de Elekerte Coffee.
So it's like a little notebook. And you open it up like a notebook, and Barista's gesucht. Wow. There's some people making coffee. See, I appreciate some people make websites like this. It looks like a little notebook you're going through. But I don't know. Maybe just make a normal website that's easy to navigate. I don't need to make it look like pages of a book. Ooh, that's kind of cool. There's a page of logos. That's interesting. They have links to Too Much Coffee Man, CoffeeGeek.com. This is kind of cool. Doesn't make noise, though, right? It's not making any noise. This website is like, what the hell? Wait. I just saw the flavors, but it like won't stop. Jeez. Like, I saw what I wanted, but... Okay, here we go. I think I on the show, I already reviewed the Bossa Nova, the Zachten den Sund. On the Overnightscape, I reviewed the Bossa Nova. Let's take a look at when I reviewed that. Then there's Espresso Original, which I have some of that. I haven't done that yet. Ristretto Radical, Vorde de Messen di... I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Dutch. I can't do it. And then there's Plantage Coffee. I don't have any Plantage. Let's see. I just want to do this real quick here. No. What the hell? Why is everything so difficult? I don't know. All right, let me have some of this coffee. Ristretto Radical. It's quite good coffee. Very, it is very complex. There's a very interesting, complex, sharp note to the flavor that I like a lot. What is this? Here's my website, theovernightscape.com, right? And there's this Google ad on the top. It says, find out at Mystery Fab Rehab. But the thing is, I dare not click it because Google does not allow you to click your own ad. So I'm not even allowed to know what this is, right? Palm, lights, camera, palm, video contest. Wait, let me see what else. Like, it's loading all these ads, but I'm not allowed to touch it. I don't know what that thing was. All right, let's go to the archive here. I just want to see when I reviewed the other thing, which was... what was it? Oh, no, the notebook closed again. I don't know how to get back to it. No. Bossa, no. Yes. Ugh, it keeps turning pages. Okay. Let's find out. All right, Bossa Nova. It's the name of one of the Pixies albums, too, right? Bossa Nova? No? Yes? Yes. No? Yeah. Why am I second-guessing myself here? Anyway, that was back on the Overnightscape number 592, Sunday, April 29th, 2007. And that was, that was the 29-minute show I did. Wow. And I reviewed the Bossa Nova coffee. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So let me have some more of this Ristretto Radical. This is really good. It's very, actually very good coffee. Even after all this time, the coffee is still good, so... Thank you so much. I got to get this. I have a stack of stuff over there that I haven't reviewed, and there's this stuff that's just, there's like a thing of popcorn and cereal. It's all past its expiration date. I got to get to the reviews of that, and I will get to that. Believe me, it'll happen. So I would like to now move on to our next feature on the show, and this is something I'm very excited about because, as I mentioned, here on the Overnightscape Underground, there's unlimited time, basically. And I wanted to start presenting different audio projects that I sort of have in progress, right? And this is one case of something that I started working on years ago and just sort of put on hold. This is Video Kids 85, yes. This is a feature. I'll give you the background. It's called Video Kids 85. I came up with the name of it probably a couple years ago, and I'll give you the background. Back in 1985, I, along with this guy Jim Glynn, and a bunch of our friends, made a Doctor Who fan film. Now, at that time, there really was not a big fan film community or a lot of fan film stuff going on. In fact, we didn't even know the term fan film back then. But we loved Doctor Who. Doctor Who, of course, if you're not familiar, is a TV show that has been on the BBC in Britain for many years, even though there was a long gap between like 1990 and 2000-something where it wasn't on. But in the United States, the public television stations, you know, PBS, the local public television stations would show Doctor Who a lot all the time. And this is where we really, all of us became huge fans of Doctor Who. And also, as you'll hear on this, you know, also they were showing a lot of the Monty Python. So a lot of the great British television was shown on public television here in the United States. And so we were huge Doctor Who fans. The ones they were showing, I mean, they were showing a lot of the, I mean, the Patrick Troughton, John Pertwee, of course, the Tom Baker, and even the Peter Davidson Doctors, you know, back at that time. So they were showing lots of different Doctor Who from all different time periods. It started, like, what, back in the 60s. And so Jim, my friend Jim Glynn, wrote a script for a Doctor Who movie called Polarized Worlds. And we recruited some of our friends and our friends' friends to be in the movie. And my father, of course, had a construction company back then. One of his friends had a video camera. Now, this was a camcorder. It was not a camcorder. It was a video camera which connected to a sort of a big video recording unit. It was like you would sort of put it over your shoulder, and it was this big unit that had a, would record on VHS. And so we went outside. We didn't have a battery, so we had a long extension cord going out, and I guess my brother was holding it, and I was filming with it. So it was kind of a complicated setup. And it was in July of 1985, the first day of filming. And that's when we started, and we recorded approximately, I recorded approximately 8 hours of footage. And eventually we edited it together into the final movie. Now, even at that time, I kind of had this idea that just filming what was going on in between the scenes, the making of that kind of stuff, would be interesting. And indeed, it really is. So, of this 8 hours of footage, I, back in 2003, like from June through November 2003, right, I was working on, I digitized all 8 hours, and I was started to sort of, not really to edit it, but I edited out silences and like on the videotape, we taped it on, there was like other TV shows on it, so I edited out that kind of stuff. And I got sort of, I didn't even get all the way through the process, but I did certainly get many, many hours into the process. And I just sort of, it's just sort of been on my hard drive ever since then. And I've always been meaning to do something with this. Up until now, only a few pieces of the, two pieces of this audio I released in BluffCosm.com called Making Polarized Worlds Part 1. That was one segment that was about, I don't know, maybe 8 minutes of this, the first part of this recording that you're going to hear in a minute. And also in one of my Vacation from Sanities was another like minute clip from this thing. But beyond that, none of this has ever been heard before. And I don't, you know, as far as the final movie we made, I know that, I don't even know if I have a copy of the actual final movie that we made. I know this guy Jim Glynn has a copy of it. I may have a copy on beta. I'm not sure. But to me, it's all of this making of stuff that is so interesting. And this first part of the tape, I think, is remarkable. I just listened to it, and I am just completely, really blown away. I was 17 years old. Again, this is July of 1985. I was 17. I would turn 18 in October. And since there's 8 hours, I figured I'll do in eight parts, about an hour each. So the, what you're going to be hearing now is Video Kids 85, part one, about an hour and 4 minutes long. And you're going to hear a lot of stuff in this first section. This first segment, there's so much stuff going on. It's amazing. You'll be introduced to the people involved in the movie. You'll also hear, in the beginning, you hear my my father, because we were in the office testing it, and he was there, I think his, and his secretary, I think her name was Lil, I think she was there. And then as the tape goes on, I'm taping as everyone's getting ready, and as we're starting off on the whole thing, I'm interviewing people. Actually, my grandmother is there, my mother's mother, who died many years ago. She was actually, you'll actually hear her voice, Evelyn Sappenfield, who I've mentioned on the show, my mother's mother. She was living with us for a time, and she's in it. And you'll also hear my sister Julie. How old was she? She was she would have been 12 at that point. You know, she would also turn 13 in October. You hear my mother on the tape, and she's talking about it's very interesting. She talks about a hacker, a computer hacker, in the town we lived in, which is Martinsville in Bridgewater, New Jersey. This first part all takes place at my parents' house in Bridgewater. She talks about a computer hacker who broke into like the military computers for real. She says it's like it was like war games for real, and I do believe I wound up knowing that kid in college. What the hell was his name? Scott something. But I think it was him. I think he actually went to my college, Drew University, like a year after I went there. I think that was him. Kind of, back then it's amazing to think this is audio from 1985. Everyone sort of looks back at the 80s and this is iconic thing now. Everyone loves the 80s and the music of the 80s and the culture. But here is a real scene of teenagers from the 1980s making a movie. So you'll hear us a lot, talking about Doctor Who, and also a lot of influence from Monty Python. Everyone were huge Monty Python fans, and quoting from Monty Python and everything. And I hope you know what Monty Python is. Monty Python's Flying Circus. Some people may not know. It's a comedy show from Britain from the 60s and 70s, and I think it's from the Anyway, if you don't know it, I feel sorry for you. You should know Monty Python. And also you'll hear, I was very influenced at that time by some stuff I had seen, again, on PBS, a show called Alive from Off-Center, which was sort of video performance art kind of stuff. That's where I first got introduced to, like, Laurie Anderson, and there were movies by this guy William Wegman with his dogs. And so I liked the idea of conceptual video. So you'll hear towards the end of this piece, part one, I'm trying to make these conceptual videos, and everyone's being real goofy making these conceptual videos, and there was so much stuff going on. I mean, this is an amazing piece of audio. I can't believe I've never released this before, except in those few parts. You may have heard. I don't know if I played. Did I ever play that on the Overnightscape? Let me see if I can find this. Well, hold on. No. Wow. I don't think so. Maybe the Vacation from Sanity. But in any case, it was on bluffcosm.com and stuff, that one short segment. But everything that had been played is in this first hour and 4 minutes, and so much more. And then we'll continue on in future episodes, maybe later on this day or on future days, with more and more of Video Kids 85. Up until I came up with that title, I really didn't have a good name for the whole thing, because the Doctor Who movie, again, was called Polarized Worlds, and Doctor Who, whatever. But I love Video Kids 85 really describes it, and there's so much going on in this audio. And yes, there is the video to it too, but we're just focusing on the audio right now. I never even digitized the video. I just have the audio. So I hope you enjoy this. It's an hour and 4 minutes long. This is Video Kids 85, part one. I am so excited. I have been, believe me, in my notes for this kind of thing, I've been writing down Video Kids 85, Video Kids 85. I've been like intending to do this for such a long time. Now we're finally presenting it, finally getting it going. So here you go. Part one of Video Kids 85. I hope you enjoy it.